All right, I finished up. You want to have a seat?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Have a seat.
So here's what a lot of babe Christians don't understand. So when we get the new man, it's the spirit and it's the soul, because we've been crucified with Christ. We get the new spirit, which is the new man, the spirit and the soul, which is in Christ. Mm-hmm. We are baptized into him by that spirit and by that soul. Mm-hmm. The soul is made up of the mind, the emotions, and the will. Our spirit joins with the Holy Spirit. That's a communication that we have to Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm.
Interceding for us.
Interceding for us, and we are in him.
Right.
So we have been redeemed, glorified, justified, sanctified. Saints, sons of God.
Can I add to that? That's a process. It's not complete yet.
No.
It's not complete yet.
No. Wait, hold on. Follow me for a second.
All right.
Follow me for a second, please. All of the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ. Follow me.
Amen.
Okay.
He's fully God, fully man.
Fully God, fully man.
Amen.
All the Godhead dwells in him.
Amen.
All the fullness of Christ is in us if we are in him, in the Spirit.
Manifest by the Spirit, John 14.
Manifest by the Spirit, yes, sir. When Paul talks about in Romans, walking by the Spirit or walking by the flesh,
right?
The flesh, which is our brain, that we are still in this body, not the glorified body when we're resurrected.
Did you want to come out and sit? I'll sit.
No, I'm fine.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
That's my wife, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie. Jason.
This is
Jason.
Jason.
Nice to meet you.
He's on business and he was walking by.
Yeah, I was walking by.
Oh, I saw.
Oh, where are you from, by the way?
Tarpon Springs.
Florida. Oh, you're from Florida. Okay.
Yeah, from Florida.
All right.
So,
can I correct one thing, or can I adjust one thing you said?
Sure.
When you said the flesh, I don't think the flesh is just our mind. I think the flesh is our carnal nature, which is clearly part of our mind.
Well, hold on.
Carnal nature. Okay. Don't mince at words here, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me back up.
Okay.
When the sin nature got brought in, the Adamic nature, it got tied to our flesh, our brain.
Yep.
And literally our flesh.
Yeah, kind of what I was going along with teaching today. Repentance is what your mind thinks your body does.
if you follow the flesh.
Yeah. Or so, if you're following Christ, your mind changes and you follow Christ.
Here's it. Our brain has been wired by the sin nature, so the power of sin. Okay, let's separate the devil for a minute from the power of sin. And Paul talks about it. The power of sin, when it got brought into this world by when he was cast out from heaven into this world, then when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin nature, or that power of sin, deceived, got brought in, tied into our flesh. Now, not only is there...
I have a question.
Yes.
So you don't... Do you teach total depravity?
Prior to being saved?
Yes.
Except for the fact that he has written the truth on our hearts, but our mind...
So that yes or no? And do you know what total depravity is?
I'm speaking of how
Calvin is. What's total depravity?
That we are enmity towards God.
Right.
Prior to being saved.
Right. But it goes deeper than that. Total depravity, I just did a teaching on this. Total depravity teaches that you are so depraved because of the fall of Adam and what Satan has done. You are so depraved, you no longer have a free will to even choose anything.
I don't believe
okay,
that.
Good. Because
no.
That's what Calvinism teaches.
I do not believe that.
Good.
No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right, so go ahead.
We have a free will.
Yep, we have a free will. Even before we come to Christ.
Before.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how will God justly send anyone to hell?
We have a free will.
Amen. All right.
Have free will.
Gotcha.
When that sin nature got brought in, then when humans from Adam, Eve, continued to sin, that sin that was done to you got tied into your flesh. That sin that was done to me got tied into my flesh. When a man goes into a woman, their flesh becomes one. The sin nature of the man is taken on by the woman. The sin nature of the woman is taken on by the man in the sense of the flesh. Follow me for a second.
You mean in an unholy union?
Of course.
Like laying with a whore? Not in a marriage.
Not in a marriage, no.
Okay, so no. You're saying if you fornicate,
right.
You're entering into,
right.
Like Paul says, you become one with a harlot.
That's
but
right.
In a godly marriage, you don't believe that.
No.
Sex is good inside a godly marriage.
It is, but if you're not saved, you are taking on that sin nature.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
In sex?
Let's get back. We
so
get
two
back.
Unbelievers are married, and they partake in procreation, which God said
their
to
flesh
do.
Flesh becomes one.
Right.
Does it not say?
It becomes one, but that doesn't mean that's a bad thing, that they're partaking of the carnal. Flesh isn't always a bad word. Flesh has different words.
But if the sin nature is tied to the flesh.
But some things are good and some things aren't. Okay, let me
the
give...
sin nature.
Okay, I was going to say, see, now you got to separate.
Don't.
Not flesh. Sin nature you're talking about. Because
right.
Flesh, there's good things we do in the flesh.
Of course.
If a husband and wife come together, that's a good thing in the flesh.
Of course.
Every
right.
Day you have body functions that are a good thing
course,
in the flesh.
Of course.
So you're talking about, the sin nature.
The sin nature
okay.
Of the flesh.
Gotcha.
In the flesh.
Sin nature.
The sin nature.
But again, even if unbelievers partake in sexual intercourse that are married, that's not a sinful act.
No.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
I'm saying the physical act of sex, it says they become one.
Okay.
Does it not say that?
It does say that.
Okay. The sin nature.
I'm confused how you're tying sin together with what God created. God created a male organ to go into a female organ, so it's a good thing under the right circumstances. I don't know how you're tying sin to that, unless you're doing it in a fornication manner.
That is why Christ had to come and be conceived by the Spirit and not by the man, because her womb was not polluted by the sin.
Yeah, see, I think that's a stretch there. The reason Jesus was an incarnate, immaculate conception, as they say, the reason that happened is that was the only way to splice God and humans together. If he had a human father and a human mother, they'd say, he's a human. God spliced, if you would, spliced divine nature to make him fully man, fully God.
Right.
So I would disagree with that. It wasn't because her womb wasn't sinful, because she was a virgin. There was nothing sinful about her womb.
In fact, it says she had favor with God.
She
still had the Adamic nature in her flesh.
But she had favor of God. Hold on, though. See, that's where I think maybe you're a little bit more total depravity than you think. Because
no.
Abraham did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling in him. Be careful.
No.
But he was a righteous man.
He was.
Job.
Why?
Job.
Of faith.
Job did not have, well.
Faith.
No.
Yes.
Not just faith. Faith and works. His works.
Well, the faith led to works.
Exactly.
Work.
So it's faith and works. It's not faith alone.
They stepped out in the faith.
It's not faith alone, because Abraham believed God but had to take Isaac into the desert and raise a knife
right.
up. God believed him and gave a ram. And I always tell men, Noah, it says Noah was righteous and walked with God. And so I have the men today, not saying you, I have men today telling me, all you have to do is believe and have faith. And I go, hold on, did Noah have faith? And they go, well, yeah. And I go, did he have to obey and build an ark and get in it to be saved?
Yes.
And they go, yeah. And then I tell them, you have to have faith, but not faith alone. Then God says, like I taught in repentance today, you overheard it. If you truly have metanoia, a change of mind, you follow me, you strive to obey according to my Spirit.
That is the obedience.
Obedience, yeah. So, I don't know, maybe it's semantics, but I would disagree that Mary had a sinful womb. I wouldn't agree with that. She was a fallen person in her nature, but she wasn't choosing that nature because she kept herself pure. She was a virgin. In that sense, she was a virgin.
We're saying the same thing.
Okay, so she was a virgin.
We're saying the same thing.
Okay. So the difference is, I would never say that God didn't...
What I'm saying is that her womb was not polluted by the man's seed.
Okay.
We're saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, just I don't like the word polluted, because it's a good thing. I came from that, and so did you.
It's a good thing. Sin, though.
No, but it's a good thing we came from that. So you separate the flesh from the spirit.
Right, but our
so the flesh
was,
is good.
But our spirit was dead.
The flesh is good, but we were born in sin is
but
the bad part.
Our spirit was dead.
Yeah, so your birth is a good thing. Like God says to which prophet did he say, I've known you in the womb? Jeremiah, I believe.
All of us.
Was a good thing. He've known you in the
I
womb,
formed you.
But we're born into sin. That's the bad part.
That's
so separate
right.
the flesh from the spirit.
That's right.
Okay.
We're talking
sin. So where are you going with this?
Okay. Where I'm going with it is when we get that new nature.
By the way, I need to tell you, I'm making an audio recording.
Okay.
And if it's okay with you, I put these up on my website for teaching purposes.
Sure.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
When we get the new man.
Okay.
All right. That new man is spirit and soul. We agree with that.
Yes.
Okay. I believe we are fully justified, redeemed. The sanctification is more our behavior. Now follow me for a second. Prior to us receiving the new man, we were programmed in our brain, not our mind. Our mind is separate from the brain. The brain is a computer that's trash in, trash out, truth in, truth out.
So mind, the brain is physical.
Brain is physical.
The mind is, now you're mingling the soul and mind kind of together, because the soul and mind.
Well, the soul and the mind
same
is
thing.
Part of the soul.
Yeah, same thing.
The soul is made up of the mind.
Yep. So it's a matter of like computers, hardware, software.
The mind is made up of the soul, or excuse me, the soul is made up of the mind, emotions, and will.
Okay.
Proof is when the rich man was in hell, Lazarus was in the bosom.
Right.
They both
to point it unto man once to die and then face the judgment.
They could both reason in hell and in heaven. They didn't have a body.
Right.
They were ejected out of their body.
Right, right.
Okay, so
our spirit
mind,
body.
That's right. Our mind is in our soul.
Right.
So our brain, prior to the new man, receiving the new man, our brain was programmed by the power of sin, the devil. Devil is not omnipotent, but, or excuse me, yeah, wait, what's everywhere at once? I can't think of the word right now.
Yeah.
Was omnipotent?
Yep, omnipotent, yeah.
Devil's not omnipotent, but the power of sin programs our brain by circumstances, things that go on in our life, lies that get put into our brain because of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're wired to be at a specific point where even when we are saved and we have the new man, the power of sin puts an idea into our mind, turns up our emotions, because we either believe the lie or we stand in the truth. So when those thoughts come in, turns our emotions up, now you got to say, okay, is that a lie or is that the truth? Does that hold to the word or is that a lie that's contrary to the word? That is how we live in the spirit, is by testing that thought and comparing that thought by knowing the word and saying, is that of the Lord or is that of the power of sin? Which can be deceived if you don't know the word. For the word is, now follow me, for the word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce the division between the soul, the spirit, the bones and marrow, mm-hmm. the flesh, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Right.
So if we stand firm on the word when those thoughts come in, even though it affects our emotions, if we get our emotions in check based on the truth, then we don't walk out in the emotion.
So you're talking about Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. The only thing I would say to that, I think I understand you. I always don't like to say I agree with you, because sometimes people say stuff that I'm not sure, and I don't want to agree with people in wrong doctrine. But what I would disagree with you is, maybe you didn't mean it this way, I don't believe, and this goes back to total depravity, I don't believe our minds are totally polluted by sin. I don't believe that. I believe they're affected by it. Let me give you an example. There's a pond right here. Somebody comes and dumps 5 gallons of oil right here, and it's polluted. Yep, no doubt, that's sin, it got polluted. Go over to that end over there, it isn't affected yet, it's still fresh. And so I believe that God would not put us in a place in our minds where we still don't have the capability to choose good from evil. And so I disagree with that our minds are totally polluted. Because otherwise, you said you agree with free will. We could never make a choice to choose God.
Polluted when? Prior to being saved?
Yeah, I mean, no, prior to. Because if you're, okay, a man's, here you go, I just read it, Acts 17. Paul is talking to pagans on Mars Hill.
Right.
These guys are worshiping statues.
Right.
They're as dead can be.
Right.
And Paul says, repent. God's not far from you. Even though their minds were polluted by sin and false gods from Satan, they still have a part of their mind that God says, you have the ability to repent. And I just went over it. Repentance is metanoia. Change your mind.
You know why?
There's a part of your mind that can still make a decision. A bunch of it's junked up, but you can still make a decision. And when you do that, then God will, he's already sent conviction, he's already sent his testimony of his creation, as Romans 1 says, then God will help you with the Holy Spirit to conviction, draw you, and that's when new life comes in.
Because he's written it on everyone's heart.
Right. So I don't agree that our minds are like totally polluted that we can't.
I didn't say that.
Okay, but you, well, when you said our minds are polluted.
No,
I don't think our minds
are... I said our brain.
You can't have a mind without a brain and a brain without a mind. You can have a soul without a brain.
They're separate.
The mind, okay.
The mind and the brain.
Follow me here. Follow me here. Physical brain, soul.
Right.
I think the mind is like the intercessor between those two. Right? It's kind of how the mind works with the brain and the soul. You can have a soul without a physical brain, but you can't have a physical brain without a mind. You're dead.
No, but you can have a mind without a brain.
That would be linked to the soul.
Of course.
Okay, that would be the
of
soul.
Of course.
All right.
We are souls and spirits inside a body. Okay. Right
so I just wanted to get to that. I believe we're still always, even the worst of the worst man, unless God has turned him over, Romans 1, which means he's gone so far. He's denying the creator. He's denying the creation. He's lavishing in his sin. He's a fornicating, sodomite, pagan.
What was your name, brother?
That love, Jim.
I cut you off a lot because I know where you're going and I can feel the spirit. Everyone knows the truth, brother. Everyone knows the truth.
I would agree with that.
Everyone knows the truth.
Everyone. Hold on. I would agree with that.
Their flesh doesn't want to hear it.
I would agree with that, except the people that God has turned over, because it says right in Romans 1, I just did a teaching on this, they've traded the truth of God for a lie. They did know it one time. They no longer know it because they've been handed over. So you're right. Most everybody knows it. The ones that God has turned over... Here you go, Pharaoh.
Well, he hardened Pharaoh's heart.
He knew it. Well, why did he harden Pharaoh's heart?
So that he could show his glory.
That's true, but what's the original reason? If you just said it, if God is all-knowing, is God the Alpha, the Omega?
Absolutely.
Okay, so does God know the beginning from the end?
Absolutely.
So did God know the future of Pharaoh?
Absolutely.
So God says right in Exodus, it says this, I know he won't let my people go. So God, this is how I explained to Calvinists, God went, whoop, look to the future. Pharaoh never chose me. So God says, now I'm going to make him a vessel of wrath because I knew he'd never choose me anyway.
There you go.
So
he hardened his heart.
Yep. So then God hardened his heart to make him, but Pharaoh chose that.
As he hardened Israel.
Pharaoh chose that.
As he hardened Israel.
So what was your point going through all this?
My point in all this is that new believers, they don't understand what it means to walk in the Spirit. And the devil twists their mind up through their brain because they're not reading the Word. They're not standing firm in the Word and believing it and professing it. And they are being deceived by false prophets and preachers.
And the flesh.
And the flesh.
And false doctrine. And
false
Satan.
False doctrine and Satan.
Roaring lion, yep.
That's right.
And but they're still responsible.
Of course they are, but...
They're not protected in their sin.
Of course they are, but it is the disciples' job to teach.
Yes.
And that's what you're doing.
But yes, but the problem I have there is, even a new believer, if they're born of God, they have the Spirit of God to guide them. I was a new believer once. And when I was a new believer, my wife and I had no one with us.
That's good. This
is a testimony. Well, it's good and it's bad.
Well, what did Paul say?
We had no one with us for years. And we were forced, not forced, it was awesome, but we were had no other choice. We went into the Word of God via the Spirit. We threw away man-made religion. We started to throw away all the things of the world, whether it was pagan holidays, our worldliness, our unbiblical dress, how we spent our money, who we associated with. All that started going by the wayside. And all of that was a result of the Spirit working in us in the Word. And I always tell people this, and I boast a lot in Christ, okay? Not me. This wouldn't be me, because I wouldn't be sitting. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. I could care less. I would have been out.
We can only boast in Christ.
I would have been at the bar drinking, and so would my wife, if it wasn't for Christ. Within 1 year of us changing our minds, repenting, and being born again, my wife and I were born again about a month apart from each other. Within 1 year, I boast in this, that we have now been following Christ for almost 14 years, 13 years. Within 1 year, we had doctrine in place from the Word of God, and our lives cleaned up from that first year, and the reason I'm telling you this is, then go forward. You can read my website. You will not find a date on my website, on my articles. I've never changed very little. I'll tell you what I have massaged. I've changed very little from the first year all the way through. We had solid biblical doctrine and holy living.
Who's a better teacher than the Spirit, bro?
After the first year. Well, I agree with that, but the Bible does say that iron sharpens iron, and I can promise you this. If a godly man was in my life, he could have probably got me in shape in 2 months. It took me a long time, a year, to struggle through this stuff, but we got it. What I contest is these people that tell me they're born again. They've been following Christ for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, some of them more. Some of them are teachers, and they don't even have rudimentary truth down. Pagan holidays,
right.
Christmas and Easter,
right.
Worldliness,
right.
Not mingling the church of the body, I don't like the word church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia,
right.
With the world.
Right.
This is not the Holy Spirit falling down on the job.
You know how much of that's going on right now?
Everywhere.
I know.
It's everywhere.
I
don't know where it's not going on.
I know.
And so that's where I'm a little cautious when you say new believers. If you're talking 1 week, 1 month,
I'll lean with you.
You get beyond that and the Holy Spirit is convicting you. I mean, the conviction for us was so strong and so serious. We were looking at our lives and going, whoa, we do this. Why do we do it? Okay, give you an example. Wedding rings. We're married. I don't know how long it was, 3-4 months into our... I don't know how long it was. It might have been longer. We looked at wedding rings and I said, we wear wedding rings. Let's look into this. I said, does God's word tell us to mark ourselves? Like, no.
Nowhere.
It's a pagan tradition. Now, I'm not going to tell you wearing a wedding ring sends you to sin, but we were so zealous, Titus 2, to have good works for God. We got rid of those things. And it was just because the Spirit was convicting us. We were following the word. So I don't believe that new believers should walk in darkness. They might not walk in the fullness of a full, mature Christian. How about Corinthians? What did Paul tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3? He said, you're carnal,
right?
And now, they did catch one guy in sexual sin with a stepmother. That's a separate case.
Right.
What was the sin? You know, people always telling me, oh, Brother Jim, you're too hard because look at Corinth. Paul said they were carnal Christians, but they were still Christians. And I always remind people, what was their sin? Not the guy sleeping with his stepmother. Paul was brutal with that. He said, you deal with that guy. If you don't, I'm coming. I will.
They were living in the world. What?
It says it right in Corinthians.
Tell me.
Strife and envy.
Exactly. In the church.
Let me tell you something. Jeff, right?
Jason.
Let me tell you something, Jason.
In the church.
Strife and envy in today's American churchianity would be that small on the sin scale compared to what's going on in American churchianity. So they try to teach you, oh, the Corinthians were, no, the Corinthians weren't going to the Roman pagan games. No, the Corinthians weren't dressing like harlots. No, the Corinthians weren't teaching false doctrine. No, they had strife and envy. And Paul did say some heresies.
Right.
So they were twisting a little bit of the truth. Look at churchianity today. It's more pagan than it is biblical.
Of course, brother.
So I push back against the idea that if you're a new believer, I think people fall into that as an excuse.
When I say new believer, I mean a new believer that is for, and everybody's different, man. Some people start getting